This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. Today's Jazz Beat focuses on Randy Newman's new song, Sonny Boy. It doesn't require more than a casual knowledge of blues to know that there were two prominent figures in the music named Sonny Boy Williamson. On his new album, Brain Matter, Randy Newman declares unequivocally for one of them, John Lee, Sonny Boy Williamson, as the one true owner of that moniker. In his song, Sonny Boy, Newman employs a sprightly cadence to drive his dreamy narrative about the Jackson, Tennessee native's short, productive life. Newman, an Angeleno with secondary roots in New Orleans, proclaims John Lee the only blues man in heaven and casts the other Sonny Boy as an ugly cat who stole my name and stole my soul and is down in hell, far as I can tell.
It's me coming at you from the land beyond. I'm up here in heaven where I belong. I'm gonna tell you my story about a man who's down in hell. He ain't up here anyway, far as I can tell. This man stole my name, stole my soul. It's so holy up here, they don't understand. They even try to steal my jelly roll. So here it is, my story. Here it is from the top.
Most aficionados familiar with the circumstances would agree that John Lee's handle was lifted by Alec Rice Miller, the second and much better-known blues man to have called himself Sonny Boy Williamson. Rice Miller was active as early as the 1930s in the Mississippi Delta region, and while he became a player of local renown through the fabled King Biscuit Time radio show in West Helena, Arkansas in the early 40s, he didn't begin making records until 1951, when he recorded the classics Pontiac Blues, Mighty Long Time, and Eyesight to the Blind for Trumpet Records in Jackson, Mississippi. Rice Miller's recording debut took place 3 years after John Lee Williamson was murdered in a late-night Chicago street robbery. Randy Newman's Sonny Boy has him being killed by a stray bullet in a street shootout, but his death was actually the result of being bludgeoned with a piece of concrete, and the apparent indifference of his wife Lacey Bell, who assumed he was merely drunk when she answered the early morning doorbell and laid eyes on her disheveled husband. She put him to bed at first, but a few hours later she realized the gravity of his condition and phoned for an ambulance. Alas, by then it was too late to save the 34-year-old blues star.
Now I would rather be stopped drunk than anything I know. You know I'd rather be stopped drunk than anything I know. You know in another half a pint, woman, and you will see me go. Now my gal, she done quit me for somebody else. Now my gal, she done quit me for somebody else. Drunk again, woman, sleeping all by myself.
Legend holds that John Lee Williamson sought to enforce a cease and desist order on Rice Miller when word of his use of the popular blues man's nickname got around. Some claims hold that it wasn't Miller, but a KFFA radio staffer who appropriated the name to increase listenership to the daily noontime King Biscuit broadcast. Rice Miller had used at least two other stage names before then, Little Boy Blue, which he called himself when he first began broadcasting on WEBQ in Cairo, Illinois in 1938, and Harmonica Blowin' Slim. Trumpet Records historian Mark Ryan speculates that the mischievous Rice Miller may have had plenty of cause for employing aliases, including being on the lam, and he also wonders if his infrequent use of his birth name was an attempt to leave behind a difficult and unhappy childhood, the details of which Miller steadfastly refused to discuss. As it happened, this Sonny Boy Williamson went on to become a major name at Chess Records and achieve what Newman sings of as the ill-gotten gains of glory, fortune, and fame. Sonny Boy II's late career ascent occurred between 1955 and 64, when he recorded dozens of sides for Chess, among them Don't Start Me Talkin', Nine Below Zero, One Way Out, Help Me, and Bring It On Home. In an interview with Pitchfork, Newman recalls hearing his Chess single, It's Sad to Be Alone and the Goat, on an R&B station in Los Angeles in the late 50s.
So sad to be lonesome, too much inconvenient to be alone. So sad to be lonesome, too inconvenient to be alone. But it makes a man feel so good when his baby comes back home.
Unlike his brother-in-law Howlin' Wolf and label mate Muddy Waters, Sonny Boy II didn't live long enough to break through to the white market in the U.S., but he toured England and Europe a few times before his death in 1965. The Animals and the Yardbirds with Eric Clapton were among the bands that backed him, and while playing in Copenhagen in 1963, he caught the attention of the saxophonist Archie Shepp, to whom he made the claim that he was, as Shepp titled a tune in tribute, the original Mr. Sonny Boy Williamson. Eric Clapton has said that the encounter with the irascible Sonny Boy II was a game-changer for young UK musicians. While the most driven of the blues-oriented players felt compelled to double down on their efforts, others redirected themselves toward the less intimidating worlds of rock and pop. At a White House concert a few years ago, Mick Jagger recalled Sonny Boy's assertion, "These English boys want to play the blues real bad, and they do real bad."
There was a great blues performer called Sonny Boy Williamson. Sonny, he was a great harmonica player. Anyway, he came to England. He used to come to England a lot, and he even started to dress like an English sort of gentleman with a bowler hat and umbrella. And he said, you know, those English boys, they want to play the blues real bad. And they do. Real bad.
It's not conveyed in his song, but in the Pitchfork feature, Randy Newman says Sonny Boy II was just as good or better than the original. While there are partisans for both, there's no doubt that Rice Miller was one of the greatest bluesmen of all time, and like John Lee Williamson, he was a gifted and highly original harmonica stylist, a fine singer, and a great songwriter. In Sonny Boy, Newman slams him as a purveyor of John Lee's material, but there's little evidence to support that charge. Though their respective discographies are vast, there are only a couple of tunes I'm aware of that they sang in common. Decoration Day Blues and Sonny Boy's Apple Tree Swing is surely the basis for Rice Miller's Peach Tree.
Now look at that, the honey, oh, ooh, wee. Now look at that, the honey, mercy me. Now look at that, the honey, oh, ooh, wee. Baby, way over there about the apple tree. Now look at that, she kind of big and fat. Now look at that, but it ain't like that. Now look at that, the honey, the ooh, wee. Baby, way over there about the apple tree. I love your loving little apple. I think your apples are always fine. So crazy about your mellow little apple, because every now and then the roll across my mind. Now look at that, the honey, ooh wee. Now look at that, baby, mercy me. Now look at that, honey, ooh wee. Baby, way over there about the apple tree.
John Lee Williamson's blues classic Early in the Morning can be read as a harbinger of the independence young women would begin to assert after World War II. First recorded in 1938, its 1945 remake is a classic example of the Bluebird beat, a commercial term for the urban blues style that John Lee and other St. Louis and Chicago bluesmen popularized on RCA's subsidiary Bluebird Records. John Lee's sidemen in 1945 included the blues greats Tampa Red and Big Maceo. Chick Saunders, who keeps such emphatic time, is on drums. The tune remains one of the most enduring blues standards. Junior Wells recorded it on his debut under the title Bout the Break of Day, and later on as Early in the Morning. Charlie Musselwhite played it on his 1967 debut Stand Back, and Kim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds released a nightclub version of it on his album Smokin' Joint.
Now when your little girl become 18 years old, again the thing she's grown, you can't never catch that kind of little girl at home. Have to go to see her early in the morning, baby, by the break of day. Now you ought to see me hug the pillow, or where my baby used to lay. Now that I've got a little girl, her name is Miss Mary Ann. If I can't come to see you in the evening, baby, please tell me when I can. You tell me to come early in the morning, baby, about the break of day. Now you ought to see me hug the pillow, or why my baby used to lay down.
John Lee Sonny Boy Williamson was one of the most influential figures in blues history, a master harmonica player who not only brought the instrument onto equal footing with guitar and piano as a solo voice, but as a singer, songwriter, and frontman who established the prototype for harmonica-led bands that's been followed ever since. Like Rice Miller, he was a brilliant wordsmith who fashioned tunes out of his personal life with Lacey Bell, and worked with a stable of superb musicians in creating music that still teems with freshness and spontaneity. B.B. King praised both Sonny Boy Williamsons and credited Rice Miller with helping him land his first gig after his move from the plantation to Memphis in the late 40s. But he devoted a paragraph to John Lee Williamson in his autobiography, Blues All Around Me. B.B. wrote, "Sonny Boy No. 1 had a stutter worse than mine and a harmonica style that gave me goosebumps. Plus, his rhythm was so rocking, you'd forget the blues he just gave you a minute ago." With his premature death in 1948, John Lee's mantle was assumed by Little Walter and a new generation of players whose highly charged electric blues made Williamson's legacy even more remote by the time whites discovered the music in the 60s. By that time, Little Walter had become the most revered and influential harp player, and while he was notoriously taciturn when it came to acknowledging other musicians, he gave John Lee serious props in a 1964 interview with the English journalist Max Jones. Little Walter said, "On the harp, well, I heard them all, and I give Sonny Boy Williamson the credit as a creator. I was crazy about his records. He had a true balance between voice and harmonica. He was the only man I really admired, but I didn't model myself on him. Know him? Yes, I did. Used to be with him all the time." Little Walter's renown is based on both his extraordinary technique and his innovative use of amplification. But while John Lee played unamplified harp on records, photos show him playing directly on a mic in person, and he would have been among the first to utilize that technique in the Chicago clubs. John Lee's credits include his 1937 debut, Good Morning Little Schoolgirl, and the blues standards Sloppy Drunk, Hoodoo Man Blues, Wonderful Time, Shake the Boogie, Stop Breaking Down, and Better Cut That Out.
I wonder what the matter with time. I seem like everything will change. I seem like this woman that I've been loving, I found some other man. I hold up my hand. I'm just trying to get my baby to understand.
my baby don't love me no more, or because somebody of hoodoo, the hoodoo man. One night I'm going down in Louisiana and buy me another mojo hand, or because I've got to break up my baby from loving this other man. I hold up my hand, I'm just trying to make my baby understand. Oh, my baby don't love me no more. She says somebody of hoodoo, the hoodoo man. Well, all right, John.
Along with the veteran Snooky Pryor and the legendary Forest City Joe, Junior Wells and Billy Boy Arnold were among the next generation of young Chicagoans to become keepers of John Lee's legacy. Young being a relative term, as even Little Walter was only 18 when Sonny Boy was murdered, Wells was 14, and Arnold, who'd just befriended his Southside neighbor, hadn't yet turned 13. Billy Boy Arnold has recalled the visit he paid on Sonny Boy as the most important day of my life, and says that in the black community, the kindly young blues man was akin to Joe Louis as a folk hero. In an interview with bluesharmonica.com, Arnold said that John Lee and Rice Miller became friends in the late 30s, drinking buddies and harp players, when Williamson spent a couple of years living in Helena, Arkansas, after the success of Good Morning Little Schoolgirl. He noted that B.B. King always hailed John Lee as a favorite and said that if all he ever heard of the harmonica was Rice Miller, he wouldn't have been attracted to the instrument. Here's Billy Boy Arnold recalling John Lee Williamson and performing his idol's original, My Little Machine.
So I'm going to start this off with Sonny Boy Williamson's number one, My Little Machine. Something's getting wrong with my little machine. Oh, yeah, baby. Something's getting wrong with my little machine. Now you got a standing carburetor, baby. But mama, you've been burning bad gasoline.
A day or two after learning of Randy Newman's new song, I came upon a testimonial to John Lee Williamson in a biography of Mose Allison by Patty Jones. The Tippo, Mississippi native was raised in a world immersed in blues, from the town square to the front steps of sharecropper shacks to the jukebox in his father's filling station. As Mose matured musically, he went from playing boogie-woogie and barrelhouse piano to emulating the urbane styles of Nat King Cole, Charles Brown, and Percy Mayfield. Like many musicians who came of age in the 40s, Mose Allison was drawn to modern jazz and called himself a bebop fanatic. He said, "Bebop was my crusade. Dizzy Gillespie was my hero." He saw Gillespie's orchestra in Jackson, Mississippi, Jackson, Tennessee, and even at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. But in One Man's Blues, he describes a revelatory experience he had at age 20 that brought him back to the basics. On one of my trips to Memphis in 1948, I heard the first Sonny Boy Williamson at the Beale Street Auditorium, an afternoon performance for whites, a sepia review, as it was called then. I went primarily for the high-note trumpet players and the dancing girls. Toward the end of the program, this guy comes out on stage in an old suit with a harmonica. He did 10 minutes alone, and it was just one of those moments. The emotional force and rhythmic purity that he was able to generate were in complete contrast to the rest of the proceedings. It turned out to be the original Sonny Boy Williamson, who was killed soon afterwards. He reopened my eyes to blues. Here's Mills Allison performing If You Live.
Oh, well, if you live, your time will come. I say, if you live, your time will come. So, child, don't mess with that cotton sack. It's gonna scratch your knees and bend your back. And if you live, your time will come. Oh, well, if you live, your day will come. I say, if you live, your day will come. So, child, don't play with those pots and pans. They're gonna soon enough ruin your pretty hands. And if you live, your time will come.
In 1946, John Lee's Sonny Boy Williamson proved to be way ahead of the curve in the performance that he made of Shake the Boogie. It's a tune brimming with verses that Junior Wells and others adopted, and with solos by pianist John Davis and guitarist Willie Lacy, and a powerful drive that makes this as prototypical as anything we know as Chicago blues. Shake the Boogie is a great example of what B.B. King meant by the rocking power of Sonny Boy's attack.
Never came home until the break of dawn. Well, come on, shake your boogie. Oh, shake your boogie. Come on, shake your boogie, because your boogie's all right with me. I'm going to buy me a dog, gonna wire his nose. I'll even kill a man about my jelly roll. But come on, shake your boogie. Oh, shake your boogie. Come on, shake your boogie, because your boogie's all right with me. All right, John.
One wonders what suddenly motivated Randy Newman to not only revive the old debate between Sonny Boy 1 and 2, but to come down so harshly against Rice Miller. Perhaps he finds in this myth an analog for the shifting sands of a business that increasingly erodes musicians' control of sales, copyrights, and composer credits, and online sites that make artists vulnerable to modern-day identity theft. Or maybe it's just an intriguing old story whose time has come for a musical treatment by Newman. Whatever the case, by wrapping his brief for John Lee Williamson around a satirical condemnation of Rice Miller, Randy doth protest too much.
It's me coming at you from the land beyond. I'm up here in heaven where I belong. I'm gonna tell you my story about a man who's down in hell. He ain't up here anyway, far as I can tell. This man stole my name, stole my soul. It's so holy up here, they don't understand. They even try to steal my jelly roll. So here it is, my story. Here it is from the top. My name is Sonny Boy Williamson. I come from Jackson, Tennessee. Being a man named Sonny Boy might bother you. It never bothered me, no. My mother loved me, my wife did too. I had a dream and the dream come true.
playing there for 14 nights. Yes, I had to see. This big old ugly cat was on the stage, twice my size, about my age. Play six songs, five of mine. If I said it was good, I'd be lying. Then he says, what's my name? The crowd says, Sonny Boy. He says, what's my name? They go, Sonny Boy. And he says, what's my name? And I said, hold it. My name is Sonny Boy. Where are you, son? The one from Jackson, Tennessee. Don't know who you are or where you come from, but one thing I do know, you ain't me, son. Looked in his eyes and he was red. Supposed to bring tag hair back over his head. Scared me so bad, I ran outside and looked for a place to hide. Ran around a corner, smack into a robbery, shooting at each other, but they hit me. Next thing I know, I came up in the middle of my 34th year. Now I'm the only blues man in hell. It makes me kind of sad. I'm the only one died so young. Didn't have the time do nothing bad. As for Sonny Boy too, the man who stole my name, went on to glory, fortune and fame. He's the one who went to England, tried to teach those English boys the blues. Said, what do I have to lose? Well, it killed him. Yeah, it killed him. Yeah, I'm the only blues man in heaven. And I'm lonely as can be. Lord, if you're listening, hear my plea. Send down a blues man. The blues with me. It's the Sonny Boy Williamson, number one. That's my story. I'm done.
For additional music and photographs, as well as film footage of Rice Miller and a lengthy interview with Billy Boy Arnold, visit the Jazz Blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. Subscribe to podcasts from New England Public Radio at Apple Podcasts. For Jazz Beats, I'm Tom Reaney.